Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
And we're also joined by James Marilat from 1043thefan.com. James, we've been talking about how the Broncos have circled the wagons this week. And I think it's cool. We're also talking about the concept that next year in training camp, you'll see Drew Lock and Brandon Allen battling it out in the Decision 2.0.
Yes, I agree with
which,
you on that one.
Mark Schlereth has labeled Panda Watch, which I think is pretty funny. What are your observations about this week?
So I assume the circle in the wagons goes back to the dinner that the Broncos had. Is that kind
part
of
it?
Started?
Well, I guess it was the Lock and Flora piece that would trigger it. And then they played well in portions of that Vikings game, really well.
In large portions of it, really. I mean, it was a terrible fourth quarter. Even the last drive, even though it didn't end well, but it's a 19-play drive. They burned the last 6.5 minutes of the game. Like, other than the very end, it was perfect. Sort of other than the end, how'd you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln? It was right. Kind of that sort of thing. But, you know, I actually think, and this is what I thought when I saw the Lock on Furrow piece, I actually think this team is coming together more and more, and I thought this before that, more and more as the year's gone on, which usually doesn't happen when you're going from, hey, we're going to be a playoff team to 3-7.
Right.
But I've seen vast improvement from this team in the last couple of games. I think they've been better and better on both sides of the ball, save for the fourth quarter defensively. There are reasons to be encouraged by this team, and I'm always the last guy to be the optimist. But I think they have a really good base of young players. I think from a coaching standpoint, guys are kind of growing into their positions. I mean, Rich Gangarello, it's all new to him. And I think he's been better once he's had a quarterback that isn't a statue back there. I don't think Brandon Allen's the answer, but not having a statue certainly is the answer. There are reasons to be optimistic about where this team is going, except for the fact they seem to have absolutely no idea and no plan when it comes to quarterback, which is the most important position in sport. So that's like the largest caveat you can throw out there.
Where you at on the Lock and Forest stuff? You know, the circling of the wagons has been interesting hearing Rich Gangarello spoke on it, said that it couldn't be any further from the truth. You had Ed Donatell speak on it. We had Dalton Reisner. We had Philip Lindsay. I'm not sure if we had a defensive player or not, but they all are being... I mean, it's been unanimous, at least in a public forum, that they're disputing that entire article. How are you feeling about that article right now?
Well, look, everybody said good things about Vance Joseph when he was here, too. And then as soon as he was gone, it was Chuck Vance under the bus. So,
yeah.
I mean, heading into the second training camp, it was nothing but, boy, it's a different attitude around here. Right. I mean, everybody says the right thing. But I do think, look, they got a bunch of really good actors over there if what the Lock and Furrow piece said was true, and this is what they're saying, because they haven't just said the right thing. They've kind of said it, you know, vehemently.
With passion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, I think I have no doubt that Fangio's a little gruff. I think he probably does come down hard on people. He probably is a guy that just talks about football and couldn't tell you what your kids' names are and doesn't know that next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And you know what? I don't have a problem with any of that. Like, if Vic Fangio wasn't upset at some of Rich Gangarello's calls this season, I would have a concern about that. The fact that he is ticked off about it and there was confrontation, a little healthy confrontation is good. Now, that can get toxic if you go too far with it. But there was nothing in that piece that I said, oh, boy, that's problematic if that's true. I'm like, yeah, it's like a family. There are 53 guys that spend 6-7 days a week with each other. There's going to be some tension. I have no problem with it.
So, James, let's talk about a little confrontation at the quarterback situation. We don't really know what's going on. And by all the counts of what they are doing over at the training facility, it tells us that, you know, Drew Lock isn't the guy. And from your standpoint, the more we see Brandon Allen and the more we see him win games, however he chooses to win games, How does that play a role in this whole decision as far as who's going to be the quarterback moving into 2020?
I've decided that they determined long ago that Drew Lock was going to start December 1st against the Chargers, and they're just not telling any of us, right? And why would they? Why would they answer all the questions? Like, they got Buffalo this week. Why would they let the cat out of the bag that it's Brandon Allen's last game? Because otherwise, none of this makes any sense.
Well, right? Those were the reports that came out a while back. That was what Mike Kliss was saying.
Oh, he said the last two games, not the Chargers game.
And poor Vic Fangio has to get up there every week and come up with an answer to the same questions when he knows he can't give the actual answer.
Why do you think the Chargers game is the game?
Well, because I think you want to get more than just two games, especially when Detroit and Oakland may be out of it.
But that's what you think. But what gives you any indication that's what they think?
Well, they also were not sure when he's going to come, start practicing. And sure enough, after the bye, he practiced. It's the logical
place
to start.
You realize he doesn't have to come off IR until after the Chargers game.
I know, but you certainly don't want him to make his debut in Kansas City the week before, and Houston wouldn't be good. That's the one that makes sense. Get a 5-week window. Poor Vic Fangio at this point, he's having to tell yarns about replacement quarterbacks from 1987 who played for the Denver Dynamite. Like, that guy is running out of material.
You want to recap that story real quick?
Yeah.
Do you really know the story?
Yeah, he said yesterday that, hey, we had a quarterback in 1987, replacement quarterback, who looked pretty good for three games, and then we found out, well, he really wasn't all that good.
And that was?
It was John Forcade.
Yep.
A guy who played for the Denver Dynamite, the arena football team here that won Arena Bowl One, coincidentally, in 1987.
Look at you.
Oh, fun fact.
One of the scab players, one of the guys who crossed the picket line. He wound up sticking around in New Orleans for 4 years. He was 7-4 as a starter there. 14 touchdowns, 15 picks. Wasn't a terrible player.
Look at you.
So to some extent,
you
Fangio's
just work.
Nice.
Yeah. He's a football historian.
His story wasn't even accurate, but I got the point of his story.
You could do a more modern version and just point out Trevor Siemian started 4-0 as a quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. Starting. And his point of you can get a false positive and a false negative, sure, but you still have to see them. Like, not getting any reading would be bad. And just look at Jared Goff is one extreme on losing, 0-7, Trevor Siemian, 4-0. Yeah, you just gotta go into it.
By the way, I have always said that James was the original Trevor Siemian hater. Like very first one ever at a time, and he just flat out got lucky, if I'm being honest with him.
Oh,
he got lucky.
There were
at
guys
a time when everybody was talking about how good this
when
guy
when you're right,
was.
You're lucky, and when you're wrong, people are gonna tell you.
You were lucky.
Mark Schlereth wanted to give him $10 million a year.
I know.
Something like that. All right. Yeah. 1043thefan.com. Great stuff. James, when you come back, I kill you with truth. It's got to do with Drew Lock and my dating life. Yep.
Oh,
stick around for that. Next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.